9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Now, the clash between the Mineral Resources Minister, Gwede Mantashe, and the Kolobeni community is far from over. Mineral Resources Minister Gwede Mantashe is accused, is accusing the community's legal representative, Mr. Richard Spoor, of fueling tensions in the Wild Coast area. This follows a statement by the Amadiba Crisis Committee objecting to a meeting with Mantashe scheduled for Sunday. The committee claims to have received reports that the department is planning to transport people from as far as KwaZulu-Natal to convince the people of Kolobeni that mining is in their interest. The minister maintains that he remains committed to returning to the Kolobeni area to continue engaging the whole community. Today he issued a statement in which he emphasized that he remains committed to return to the area to continue the engagements with the whole community in order to ensure finality on the matter of mining and development. Well, to get a perspective from the department, I'm joined on the line by Advocate Thabo Mokoena. He's the Director General in the Department of Mineral Resources, and he now joins me on the line. In a moment, we will also be hearing from the chairperson of the Amadiba Crisis Committee. Good evening, Advocate Thabo Mokoena. Welcome to the Karima Brown Show.
Good evening, Kalima, and also good evening to your listeners.
Now, what I want to find out from you, Mr. Mokoena, is firstly, is it true that you will be busing in people from other areas to try and persuade the communities of Kolobeni that mining is in their own interests?
The allegation is quite baseless that would be serving people from other areas. Know that there is a mentioning of KwaZulu-Natal. I think the department is very clear that we want the people that are residing within the area where the mining will be taking place to come to the meeting. But let me clarify this point again, Karima, because I think that it's the wrong analogy that has been given here that will be serving people from other areas. And so whenever we have meetings with our communities, we invite people from the surrounding communities and also including those that are residing within the area. And so as we have also released a statement as a department condemning whatever that has been alleged that we are going to ferry people from other areas. We don't operate in that manner.
Now, and the other thing I wanted to ask is the last time, of course, when there was an imbizo of sorts, the community complained that the event was choreographed and they weren't allowed to come in. There was an ugly altercation with Mr. Gwede Mantashe and Mr. Spoor, and of course the matter was kind of brushed aside. What is going to be your approach in this instance? Are you going to allow the community as the community of that area to speak for themselves, or are you going to handpick those who are going to be in the conversation?
We have never handpicked anyone to speak on behalf of the community. All the people that attended the meeting, who participated in that meeting, were from the area. I must also indicate that the conduct of Mr. Richard Spoor was quite very much unbecoming.
What was that conduct?
Because he was disrupting the meeting of the minister. I think the minister has been on record stating that you know, he cannot come to the minister's meeting to disrupt the meeting of the minister.
But it wasn't the minister's meeting. It was an imbizo where the minister was engaging with the community. He represents the community. Surely he had an opportunity or a right to speak?
No, to speak, not to disrupt the meeting, to behave in an orderly manner in the meeting. And so that's what is expected from anyone that attends the meeting. You can't come to the meeting and expect the people to be kind to you when you disrupt the meeting. And so that is the essence of the matter. And so the meeting was convened by the minister to afford the community with an opportunity to engage with the minister in regard with the proposed mining project in that area.
But at so that time, at that time, Advocate Mokoena, the court case was still outstanding, and the community's view was, why are you preempting a court case that is going to decide on who actually has rights to decide what happens with that land? And this was raised with Mr. Mantashe, and yet you continued to try and preempt that meeting. It raised suspicions among the community that you wanted to force an agenda on them.
If you look at the court judgment, it clearly concurs with the minister on what the minister was trying to do by consulting with the community even before the court judgment, because we can't wait for the court to decide, especially when we know that we need to engage this community. Now, the court judgment says that there must be a consultation with the community, and so that is precisely what the minister was doing at Kolobeni during that.
No, but the court matter was still outstanding. The court matter was going to decide who has the final say on what must happen on the land. It wasn't talking about just consultation. So the fact that you were prejudging the outcome isn't completely baseless, because the judgment wasn't just about consultation. It was who is the final arbiter to decide what happens with the land. And of course, the minister has to have respect for the rule of law and has to wait until the court speaks.
Yeah, well, I mean, the minister sits with the cause, but then the minister is a public representative, and so he has a right to engage and to consult with communities.
No one is doubting that. Advocate Mokoena, don't misunderstand me. The minister has every right to engage the community, but this has been a long battle. This community has fought very hard to be the decision makers on what happens with their ancestral land. There was a court case that was going to decide who is the final arbiter. Would it not have been prudent? Would it have not been strategic for you to wait until the courts decide? Why did you preempt the court?
No. You must understand, Karima, that the purpose of the meeting was not to make a decision, was to listen to the parties in that area. And now there is actually also a misinformation that a mining right has been granted. I understand that this process, it is now at a prospecting stage. Now it must graduate to the mining right. And so there is no mining right that has been granted. And so the minister was there just to listen to the views of the people. There is nothing wrong with that.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm asking why you preempted the court decision.
No, we not actually preempted the court decision, because the minister understands that a continuous engagement with the people, it is very important. And so that is actually something that the minister was trying to do. Remember that after his appointment, he engaged with the community.
Yes, he also set himself a terrible deadline that he was never going to meet. And here we have the situation that people actually warned about, that there were already processes in place and that he needed to be respectful of it. I want to bring in the chairperson of the Amadiba Crisis Committee at this stage, Ms. Nonhle Mbutuma. Ms. Mtuba, tell me, what is your view of the minister's insistence that mining must be the way in which the land must be used by the community, when the community has consistently argued that it doesn't actually believe that mining will be in its interests?
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. First of all, you know, this struggle has been going on for quite a long time.
How long exactly?
And it's more than 15 years. When we talk about consultation was done properly, and that stage was over.
Yeah.
That is why right now we just decided that consultation, we just realized that consultation alone, it's not enough, because we just realized that consultation is the way we're going to tell people that I'm going to do this. That is why we just decided to go to court as community, because whatever, all the time they were coming back and we say no, and our no was meaningless, because The consultation is a way that you have no right to say no or to say yes. And then we decided to take this matter to court, that we have a right to say no and to give a consent when the development is going to take place in our community, because the consequences of the mining is going to affect us. Mm. Now, it's not good where all the time when there's a mining, it's the government decides and authorize and give a license without our own consent. And because the effect, the negative impact, it's going to affect us directly as people that we are living on the land. That is why we're pushing this state that this matter must go to court. And we're hoping that if the court is going to decide, it will resolve the matter. But it's clear that because now we see the minister still wants to come and talk to us, and the question on what, because the court judgment was handed down and it was clear how this the situation or the project must be followed. It was clear that the people, especially because there's a research is being done of 72 households that are directly affected by the mining are going to be relocated, that they can decide, not anybody else. But on the 23 September, when the minister was at Kolobeni, and then on that day, people were being passed from outside. They were not from the Kolobeni. And even if you were looking at the program, there was no community discussion. It was all the politicians that were just being put there. And they were just coming with 9 stakeholders. And in Kolobeni, we don't have those stakeholders. And we're even asking, where did they get those stakeholders? And when we see those stakeholders, we don't even know where they come from. And it was clear that because after the court judgment, we even hear that minister is pushing a referendum because he's not happy about the court judgment. And for us, you know, that we used to live on that land for many years. We're not coming from anywhere else. And when you push a referendum, you are challenging a bad direction, because referendum is where you want people to vote. But what we are talking here, it's a land. Land, we don't vote. Land, we discuss until we reach the concession. But I can't see that the minister is willing to do that, because I know concession is a long process. And these mining companies, they don't have time for that. The time they have is to dig up the minerals and leave the country.
Okay, Ms. Mutuma, let's just give the advocate a chance again, the Director General. Mr. Mukwena, Ms. Mutuma made a lot of allegations. She said, first of all, you bust in people, that there were stakeholders that weren't part of the community, and that more importantly, the court judgment has now been decided, and yet the minister is still coming and is now pushing for a referendum. Why are you not allowing this community to make the decision about how best to use their land?
No, thank you very much, Karima. Good evening, Susan. Let me clarify this point. If you read the court judgment, there is a provision where an argument is raised that the community members are not entirely against the mining in that area. And so go and look at the court judgment. But what they want actually their right to be protected. If they're going to be removed, they must be compensated and so forth. And so that's what it says. Now, let me deal with the allegations that have been made by the lady there. We have people that were bused from the surrounding areas.
Why did you bus them in from the surrounding areas? They don't live on the land. How does this have anything to do with them? How does the land use of this community have anything to do with the people living around there?
Listen, Karima, please.
I'm listening to you. I'm asking you a question.
Don't interrupt me. You'll get an opportunity to ask your question or to have a follow-up question.
Please answer the question, advocate.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying that those people are from the very same area where the mining is going to take place, those that were bussed in. It is not like they were coming.
So now you're admitting you bussed in people?
No. What you're saying is that they are not from KZN. They are from within the very same area. People were transported. And so what do you mean that I'm now admitting that you have bussed people? Because earlier on, you asked about the people that are going to be bussed in to the meeting of the minister. I said no. Now I'm saying to you that the people that were ferried in there, they are from the very same area. Let me clarify this point of the referendum. The minister, since his appointment, he has been talking about a survey that must be conducted in that area to test the views of the people. It is not like it is only now after the court judgment that the minister is talking about the survey. It has been his possession that let us go there and listen to the people. We must consult with each and every household. And so that is the possession of the department. Now, I think we need to be very clear here, because if you look at the court judgment, I can refer you to paragraph 15, where it is very clear in paragraph 15 that the people are not entirely against the mining activity to happen in that area, but they want to be consulted so that they can be able to express their views of what they want. If they are going to be removed, they must actually state their cases. And so that's what.
Okay, Mr. Mokoena, let's just hold it there. I want to bring Ms. Mbutuma in to the conversation. Is the Director General correct that there are people in the community that's in fact in favor of mining?
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to go back to the transportation of people. The mining, where it's going to take place, it's 5 villages.
Yes.
The 23rd September, there was not even one transport. We're not being transported. And the people who were being transported were not even coming from those 5 villages. It must be clear on that one. And we're not even lying what we are saying. That is why the meeting of 23 was not ending well, because those people were being bussed. They were not coming from the area. Even these 9 stakeholders were being brought within our community. They were not coming from our own community. And if I can go to the issue of the consultation, the issue here is not about consultation. We just stated clear that we don't want mining in our land. That is why we said no to the mining. And that is why I said consultation was done properly. Now, the confusion is where we said that this thing is in court, but we don't understand why minister is pushing to come and to not to wait the decision of the court to decide. Now the decision of the court is out. And what is the use? Because we stated clear, we don't say we need to be consulted. We said no to mining. And it's clear, and we are not negotiating. And we are not even saying that we are looking for compensation or we're looking for benefits. And we said we don't want this type of development. And minister always keeps saying that our community need a development. And the question that we have, is he a minister of economic development or a minister of minerals and energy? Those are two different things. If he's a minister of minerals and energy, his role is to regulate the mining. But now he's step ahead of economic development, which is for some other minister. We can just listen if that minister is coming and to talk about development that we want. At this stage, his goal is to push the minerals, that's all.
Now, Mr. Mokoena, the Amadiba community is very clear. They have already been consulted. They have given their view. They don't want mining. The court has given them the right to make that decision. Why are you pushing them to want mining? When I did a research, I even saw ANC chairperson in that province saying that mining is required. Why must people leave the Eastern Cape to go and work in other parts of the country when they can mine here? Why are you not allowing the autonomy of this community to be exercised? Ms. Mbutuma explained that the villages affected are the villages that you must consult. The people that you brought in has nothing to do with the land. They don't live there. Advocate Mokoena, are you still with us? Okay, we're going to try and get Advocate Mokoena back on the line. We will continue with Ms. Mbutuma. Ms. Mbutuma, the fact that the minister is so determined to allow only mining as the only form of development is obviously something that you can't just dismiss. South Africa is mineral rich. It can lead to a lot of jobs. And it can also lead to a lot of chaos, as we've seen in other communities, asbestos, dirty water, and so on. So instead of mining, what is it that you are looking for? What kind of assistance is it? Do you want to farm? Do you want the Minister of Agriculture to come through? Do you want the Minister of Economic Development to look at what else you can do? Why is mining something that you feel will harm your community?
Thank you very much. And we stated clear long time ago that mining is not the only way of development.
Yes.
There is other ways. But it's seemingly from the minister, but we understand it's his duty, it's his role to the mining. But we said that in our area, you can do other development than the mining. And for example, agriculture. And when we mean agriculture, we're not talking about a monoculture.
Mm.
We are talking about a small-scale farming where people can grow a diverse of crops.
Mm.
That's what we are talking about. And right now, we just produce quite a lot of crops.
Mm.
And especially, you can go to Durban and at Durban market, the sweet potatoes that has been sold there, it's coming from our own land, not anywhere else. And the ecotourism, our place is the best place because it's the only place where you can find the most beautiful biodiversity and also the culture. Because tourism is about beautiful nature. When there's no nature, there's no tourism. Tourists love to come where the nature, the environment is being protected, it's being taken care of. And if you mine the area, our land, this nature we are talking about, it will be destroyed and it's irreversible. And the water right now, as a country, we have a shortage of water. But we know that this type of mining is going to take quite a lot of water. And the question, where they're going to have that water? And we've even seen the other communities that are near to the mining. They don't have water. Now, why our leadership, they can't just think the other way around to say that, okay, yes, we've already mined part of South Africa, but we cannot mine the whole part of South Africa. Because it's not solving the problem of the country. Because if you see South Africa as a whole, we are the most unequal society. And people are so poor in the name of development. People, they lost their livelihood the way they used to live in the name of minerals. But they are so poor. They are sleeping without having food. But my community right now, we're even proud to say that we can feed South Africa as a whole because we still have the land that we utilize and the marsh the way we like. But the way we see, our own state is pushing to expropriate the land away from us because once the land has been mined, it will be no longer under a communal land.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring Advocate Mokoena in. His phone died when we were asking him the question. Advocate Mokoena, Mbutuma said to me that the villages that were involved were villages that were directly impacted on in terms of the land, that you brought people in from other places, that the 9 stakeholders that you brought in had no representation in that community. They want agricultural products to be farmed in the areas. They're selling produce in the Durban markets. They want ecotourism in the area. Why are you not prepared to accept that these specific areas that fall under communal land refuses mining as a way of living? They want to live in a different way. Why do you believe you have the right to impose mining on this community who are concerned about things like the environment, the quality of life, and the loss of their land, the actual loss of their land? They don't want to be compensated. They want to be landowners. We have just passed a bill in our National Council of Provinces that says land must be given to the people. Here you want to take land for big mining companies. It sounds like a contradiction to me.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Karima. I think it is inappropriate for anyone to suggest that you think that we have a right to impose ourselves as a department, because we have raised this issue that we want to talk to the community in that area. Let me clarify this point. On the 17th of November, the minister had a meeting with Amadiba Crisis Committee. They refused to discuss this matter with the minister. Now, their request to the minister was that the minister must go and talk to the community. And so that necessitated the meeting that we wanted to have over the weekend. Now, the meeting has been postponed after we have interacted with the lawyer representing the community in that area. And so we also felt that we need to have a broader consultation with other stakeholders.
Mr. Mokoena, let me interrupt you. The issue is simple. Mr. Mantash lost. The court found that the full and informed consent from Kolobeni community must be obtained. It doesn't matter what Mr. Mantash wants. Unless and until he appeals successfully the judgment, it is clear and far-reaching. The mining rights regime is now irrevocably changed unless the case is appealed. You can't impose consultation on people when a court has already ruled that they don't want mining. Why are you going back, and why are you fighting a legal court judgment? You are in violation of the decision of the court.
No, Karima, let me correct you. Your interpretation is wrong. That is why I have raised the question here, that you must familiarize yourself with the content of the judgment. Now, there is no way that it says that, the minister must not talk to the people. In fact, the judgment says that you must consult with each and every.
No, the judgment says that there must be full and informed consent. And the community says they don't want mining. The case is very, very clear.
That is why we are consulting with them. That is why the minister is...
No, but consultation is done. The consultation is done. The court has spoken. The court has said the community has been consulted. They have not given you full consent. You cannot proceed with this unless you appeal the court case. Are you intending to appeal the court case, Mr. Mokoena?
Of course. I mean, it's well known. I mean, the minister has made a statement that you are appealing the court case. But I must also say that...
But why do you pretend? Why do you pretend that you are consulting when the court has already said the consultation is over, the community has not given consent, and they were consulted? They don't want your plan.
No. The court says that the community must consent. That's what it says. And so, but I think otherwise that we are conflicted on this matter. Let me clarify this issue. We are going to meet with the community in that area. The minister is a public representative, has got a right to engage and to meet with the communities everywhere in the country. And so that is what we
But, sir, you are misinterpreting the judgment. The judgment is one of the most radical judgments in recent years, asserting the right of communities to effectively veto the state. They must respect the case outcome or appeal. Now, are you appealing?
I mean, I said that the minister has made that statement long time ago that we'll be appealing the judgment.
Then you must argue the appeal. You can't say that you are busy consulting because that matter has been done. Because then you are undermining the court decision.
Karima, listen. You have invited us to clarify this matter. Now it's that
No, but you are giving the listeners incorrect information. The judgment is absolutely clear.
Because you've got your own subjective views on the matter.
No, I don't have subjective views on the matter. I've read the court judgment. It is clear. You need full consent. You didn't get it. And now you have to appeal. If you got it, if you were right, why are you appealing the judgment? You're making no sense, Mr. Mokoena, and you are misinforming South Africans.
No, listen. The minister speaks of a survey. And it is through this survey, because a lot of these people say that they don't want money.
Then you must respect it.
Money in that area. Because even in the court judgment, that's what I said to you, in the court judgment, there is a clear provision, paragraph number 15. It says that the people are not entirely against money, but they are also looking at a compensation that would be sufficient and acceptable.
Okay, Mr. Mokoena, we've run out of time. I just want to make one thing very clear. The court judgment gave the community the final the right to decide what to do with the land. You appealing the judgment. So don't go to the judgment to try and justify your case, because otherwise you wouldn't be appealing the judgment. So it's important, Mr. Mokoena, for you to be truthful about this matter. You want mining in that area. A community is opposing you. You are going to go to court to try and overrule a decision that gave them the right to decide what is on their land. And that is where the matter is. The consultation is neither here nor there. It has been done. Thank you very much. That was the Director General of the Department of Mineral Resources. And we also, of course, spoke with the chairperson of the Amadiba Crisis Committee.